Tony. Tony. Tony Home Permanent presents...
This is Nora Drake.
This is Nora Drake, a modern story seen through the window of a woman's heart. Every time you need a permanent wave, what do you pay? $5 or $10 or even $15? Well, you could pay $1 each time and get the most natural-looking wave you've ever had with a Tony Home Permanent. You see, after getting the plastic curlers with your first Tony kit, all you need is the Tony refill from then on, and that costs only a dollar. Think what a saving that means this year, next year, every time you need a permanent for the rest of your life. Yes, Tony is definitely worth trying. Just be sure to follow the simple directions, and when you see your Tony wave, you'll know why more than a million women a month get Tony Home Permanents, the wave that gives that natural look, T-O-N-I, Tony. And now, this is Nora Drake, written by Julian Funt. About 8:30 in the morning, a very soft and balmy morning in late May. And as Nora Drake walks down Mason Street on her way to the hospital, she tries very hard to think of nothing but the peaceful scene about her. The maples that line the street on either side are already in leaf, and the very air seems redolent of spring, with its promise of new growth. But she doesn't get very far down the block when she's hailed by a familiar voice, a much too familiar voice.
Nora?
Oh, hello.
Hi. The name is Bob Keating. Remember me?
Sort of. What are you doing in these parts?
Just taking a walk. I'm a tireless walker.
Then my running into you is mere chance.
Mere chance? You know, every once in a while your speech gets very quaint. Besides, nothing happens by chance, Nora. Everything's preordained, didn't you know?
What does that mean?
Not very much. It's just a bit of fatalistic philosophy I picked up around the bookshops.
In other words, you were waiting for me.
I'm always waiting for someone. Always waiting for a smile, kind word. But then aren't we all? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Do I ever, Bob?
How can I blame you? I almost never make sense. But it is a lovely day, Nora. The sun is shining. There isn't a cloud in the sky. You mind very much if I walk along?
No, I don't mind.
Good. Ah, what is so rare as a day in May? The poet said June, but I don't agree. There's nothing like May. You ever spend any time on a farm, Nora?
I was born and raised on one.
Oh, well then, you know what I mean. The good earth awakening under your feet. The fragrance of lilacs on the May morning. Of honeysuckle and wild mint. And the pungence of new-mown grass. And here we are, walking down Mason Street. And over there's the hospital. And you haven't said a thing.
What do you want me to say?
Anything at all. Tell me that life is real, life is earnest. That it's much too short for bitterness. Tell me that all is forgiven, Nora. That once again the door is open for Bob Keating. Is it?
Excuse me, Bob. I have to go in now.
No, Nora, wait. I know I was a hard guy to get along with. I don't blame you for feeling the way you do, but that was yesterday and the day before. Look at me now. I'm a completely reformed character. I'm reasonable, genial, full of goodwill towards everyone. And I may even get my old job back again. All I need is just one friend. Nora, can I see you tonight?
I'm sorry, Bob.
That makes two of us. Well, it's still a nice day. I think I'll keep on walking. So long, Nora.
As Bob Keating walked away, there was a smile on his face. But Nora, who knows him very well, knows how unhappy he is, how forlorn and miserable. And it was all she could do to keep from calling him back. Well, it's a few hours later now, and Nora is walking down the corridor of her hospital ward on her way to Mrs. Turner's room when she hears...
Morning, Nora.
Oh, hello, Peggy.
Hi. I've just come from the office of that boat line.
What'd you find out?
Nothing we didn't already know. Mrs. Turner's son is a very sick boy. We get reports from the hospital in Puerto Rico every day. He's apparently being very well taken care of, but his condition is critical.
Did you tell him that Mrs. Turner was very sick herself and couldn't possibly go to see him?
Yeah, I explained that. Now what are we going to do?
I don't know. Except that we've got to keep the news from her.
Yeah.
She knows you were down there this morning. She'll want to talk to you.
Oh, then maybe I shouldn't go in.
No, that wouldn't do. She'll be asking for you. Just tell her there's no news yet. That the mail is sometimes delayed. Try to be reassuring.
That's a good trick, even if I can't do it. Will you come in there with me?
Of course.
All right, let's go.
Mrs. Turner.
Oh, Miss Drake.
How do you feel?
Oh, all right, I guess.
Did you have a comfortable night?
About the same as last night. If only I'd... Oh, Mrs. Martinson's here.
Yeah, hello, Mrs. Turner.
Mrs. Martinson, did you go?
You bet I did.
And?
And they told me that the mails have all been delayed. They say it happens every once in a while.
You mean they haven't heard from Jimmy's ship?
Oh, sure they have. Yeah, they keep in touch by wireless. No, it's just the regular mail that they were talking about.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
That's what Miss Drake said, that I'd probably get a few letters at one time, didn't... To Miss Drake.
Yes, that's right.
Now, you stop worrying about Jimmy, Mrs. Turner, and just concentrate on getting well. Well, for you, all you know, he may be on his way home right now.
I try not to worry. Mrs. Martinson, are you sure you went to the right boat line?
It was the Granada, wasn't it?
Yes, that's it.
Well, that's the line I went to.
I see. I still can't understand.
Now, look, Mrs. Turner, will you do me a favor? I'm going to call them up right now. I'd like you to talk to them.
That shouldn't be necessary, Peggy. I'm sure Mrs. Turner takes your word for it.
Of course I do.
No, I'd rather you spoke to them yourself and get the information firsthand. Then maybe you'll feel better.
No, please don't call them. They'll tell me just what they told you.
Are you sure you don't want to talk to them?
Quite sure.
Well, we better go now and let you rest, Mrs. Turner. I'll be in again before I go off duty. Coming, Peggy?
Right. And you try to relax, Mrs. Turner, huh? I'll be seeing you.
Goodbye. And thank you very much.
Well, that was quite a gamble you took, Peggy.
What gamble? Oh, you mean about calling the boat line?
Suppose she had wanted to talk with them.
It would have been all right. They would have told her just what I did. I asked them to, in case she called.
Oh, you really thought ahead.
Well, there was that possibility, Nora.
Yes, of course. And you handled it very intelligently.
Are you surprised? I'm considered to be a fairly bright girl, you know.
Yes, I know. I didn't mean to sound so patronizing.
I'm sure you didn't. I didn't mean to sound so nasty. Well, look, I've got to run along. I have a lunch date. No, not with my husband. With the other man in my life. Dad, do you know something?
No, tell me something.
All right. You are the handsomest man I know. Except my husband, of course. You don't mind taking a back seat to Ken, huh?
I don't mind doing anything, Peg, if it makes you happy.
Now, this makes me very happy. You're inviting me out for lunch with good food, pleasant surroundings, wonderful company. Yeah, this is the second time in a week I've gotten such a break. And here we are halfway through lunch, and you still haven't told me what's on your mind. But, of course, you don't have to.
Well, I never do, Peg. You're way ahead of me.
Uh-huh. You want me to drop the idea of the clinic, don't you? You thought you'd work on me some more. Well, Dad, why don't you forget about it? Because it's my money and I know what I'm doing.
No, you don't, Peg. If you go through with this thing, you're going to regret it.
Oh, you ought to know better than to threaten me.
I'm not threatening you, Peg. How could I? It is your money. You can do whatever you want with it. You can throw it away.
You call donating $100,000 to build a clinic, a badly needed clinic, throwing it away?
That isn't what I said. Look, Peg, maybe you still don't realize how Ken feels about this.
That's the trouble. I do.
You're trying to improve things between you and Ken. You want to make something of your marriage. That's all that matters to you. Well, if you go ahead with this contribution, the two of you will be further apart than ever.
Well, I don't know, Dad. Maybe you're right about this. Okay, I'll do what you say. I'll do anything at all if it means holding on to Ken. The last few weeks, I've even changed my personality. Anything to suit Ken. I'm trying not to be jealous or suspicious anymore. It takes quite a lot of trying. And I'm being very patient, Dad. But my patience is wearing thin. Much too thin.
More about Nora Drake in just a moment. In the hustle and bustle of shopping in New York, it sometimes happens that you leave your packages someplace or pick up someone else's by mistake. But that can prove a blessing in disguise, or so our guest this morning, Mrs. Eleanor Hansen of Cliffside, New Jersey, tells us. What makes you say that, Mrs. Hansen?
Well, last fall I had been Christmas shopping in New York, and while laden down with packages, I had stopped at a soda fountain for something to eat. Much to my dismay, I found that I had left one of my packages at the counter and picked up another by mistake. But this proved a blessing, as it was a Tony kit. And I was dubious about giving myself a Tony for Christmas, but I finally decided to, which I did, and everyone admired it very much.
That happened just this last Christmas?
Yes.
Well, that means your Tony now, then, is 5 months old. Mrs. Hansen, by the way, is wearing her hair in soft ringlets. Do you always wear it that way, Mrs. Hansen?
Well, no, I don't. But being that my hair is short, I don't have too many ways in which to manage it. But I find that it's very manageable with a Tony.
How do your friends like your Tony home permanent?
Oh, they like it very much. And, of course, I've told them about it, and they've tried it. Especially my one aunt, who has very fine and thin hair. And she's always had trouble with permanence. But being as she's had a Tony, she finds it. It's very manageable.
Well, Mrs. Hansen, after what you told our listeners, especially about the manageability, I'm sure they'll want to try Tony right away. You know, ladies, more than 1 million women a month give themselves lovely Tony home permanents. Yes, each month, more than 1 million women use Tony. The Tony kit with plastic curlers costs only $2, and the curlers can be used again and again. For your second Tony permanent, all you need is a Tony refill. It costs only $1, yet there is no finer wave at any price. Thank you, Mrs. Hansen, for telling us about your Tony and for taking the time to come down. Here is a gift of a lifetime, a lovely 17-jewel Bulova wristwatch, and a Tony refill so you can have your next home permanent on us.
Thank you so much.
Peggy Martinson was very calm as she spoke to her father. She sounded almost matter-of-fact. But there was something in her manner that frightened Andrew King. And he has good reason to be frightened, as we'll soon discover. Now, even in the hardest water, you can get soft water shampooing. Yes, Tony Cream Shampoo alone gives you soft water shampooing. No water softener is needed. Enriched with lanolin, Tony Cream Shampoo rinses away dandruff instantly and brings out all the natural beauty of your hair. So get the handy tube or jar of Tony Cream Shampoo. It's new. Be sure to listen tomorrow to another exciting episode of This is Nora Drake, brought to you by Tony Home Permanent, the Cream Cold Wave.
We hope that you've enjoyed this recording, and for more happy listening, please visit otrcat.com.